It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify, of course, as well as Apple Podcasts and Amazon. Oh, what a blow. We are back into a Monday morning. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. It is March the 4th today. And over the weekend, I guess like many of us, we were immersed in the world of open homes, travelling from one open to another. Is that how you spent your weekend? Well, I'm not sure if this has happened to you or not, but a friend of mine recently bought a house. And I asked him how he found it, because he had been looking for some time. It turns out that Google Maps sent him to the wrong suburb, also to the wrong street, as you could imagine. But, and you know what I'm going to say next, he spotted a for sale sign. And from that Google stuff up, he eventually ended up securing the property, and he is very, very happy. Normally, a few expletives are rattled off at the phone, but in this case, it all worked out for the better. I'm not sure if you've got a similar story to match that, but if you've got something maybe a little bit weird in terms of how you came across, stumbled across your property that you eventually ended up buying, let us know. You can email us at myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Well, the wage house price gap, it is widening, with experts warning of continued disparity without policy changes. Domain, now they ran a story last week which we commented on. It was about wages rising by 0.9% in late 2023, home prices surging then by 2.2%, which really does highlight a decade-long trend where wages lag behind housing costs. Even during recent housing market softening, wages failed, didn't they, to catch up, leading to concerns of a plateau. Well, this morning we are catching up with Grattan Institute economist Joey Maloney. And Joey, welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning. Great to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, what factors are contributing to the disparity between wage growth and house price growth, as explained by some of the experts?
That's right. So the gap between wages and house prices has been growing for some time, multiple decades, really. And so on one side of the equation, you've got wage growth, which, you know, there's been a little burst of it recently, but mostly, at least for the last decade, it was pretty sluggish. But really, most of the action explaining the discrepancy between house prices and wages is due to what's happened to house prices. The last few decades have seen them shoot through the roof to the point where house prices used to be about 4 to 5 times average incomes. Now they're upwards of 10 and even more so in the more desirable parts of Sydney and Melbourne. Now what's happened there is it's really fundamentally demand and supply equation. So there's been lots of factors on the demand side. You know, population growth really picked up, particularly in the late 2000s. Our migrant intake lifted then. More people means you need more homes. There's no way around that. We've also had some tax settings that have encouraged a lot of speculation on housing. So people sometimes point at capital gains tax and negative gearing, although I would argue that the impact of those is generally overstated in the discourse. Another big factor explaining the big run-up in house prices was prolonged low interest rates. Low interest rates affect how much people can and are willing to borrow. And that means that affects how much they're willing to take to the auction with them. The net effect of that is it's bidding house prices up across the country. So that's all on the demand side. But all of that would have mattered a lot less if our supply side was more responsive.
Yeah. And you have advocated for relaxed zoning laws and diversified housing options. So talk all of that through to our audience this morning.
Yeah, that's right. And thanks for asking. I was hoping that we'd go there because, you know, everyone always, there's an inordinate amount of time spent talking about all of those demand side factors, and they all matter in their own right. But fundamentally, our point is that they would have mattered a lot less if we had our supply side of our housing market set up to be more responsive, we would have got a better outcome. Price would have been lower than they otherwise would have been. And really what we're getting at here is all the restrictions that get in the way of building more homes in the areas where people want to live and work. So, you know, at a high level, that's the zones, which restrict how many levels you can go up in a particular area. But then that's compounded by different neighborhood character overlays or heritage overlays. And then even at the last hurdle, these things tend to get clutched up in the development approval processes. So the net effect of all of that is to slow housing supply, and to particularly slow housing supply in the really desirable suburbs where people want to live. And we can identify those suburbs because that's where the prices have gone up the most. So our attention has been focused on that issue, on getting the supply side of the market right. There are things we can do on the demand side, but those demand side issues will matter a whole lot less if we can get the supply side working as it should.
Okay, then. Well, that is Joey Maloney. He's from the Grattan Institute. He's an economist there. We'll come back after this and talk more.
Remember to follow us on any of the podcast platforms so you never miss a real estate podcast. You can follow us on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon. Know your property with us.
The pensioners, they're not online, so they can't pay digitally. Let's go to Anthony Landau, the Managing Director of Equilibria Finance this morning, who is back once again. Good morning, Anthony. When was the last time that you paid by check?
Good morning, Craig. Great to be here. You're certainly going back in my memory bank, and I can't actually really remember. I was given a check recently to be banked, and I'll be honest with you, it's still sitting on my desk. So I actually haven't got into a branch to bank that check yet. It's been there for a couple of months. So I think with the closure of branches, with changes in the way we do things, there are some people, unfortunately, that get left behind. And it tends to be with this digital age, some of those older people who might be used to checks, face-to-face interaction in banks, which is a real shame.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
And it is a Real Estate Monday, the worst day of the week. So, okay, let's rip into it. Let's get Monday out of the way so Tuesday's looking and feeling a little bit better. And we're talking with Joey Maloney, an economist, this morning. And Joey, you touched on the wages and the housing prices. Let's just dig a little deeper here. How have the wages and housing prices evolved over, let's say, the last 20 years?
Sure. So on the wages front, probably between 2000 and 2010, we had some pretty healthy wage growth, and a little bit further into the previous decade as well. And a lot of that came from the mining boom. That lifted income growth across the country. Then we had a period of sluggishness. Probably for the last decade now, wage growth was pretty sluggish, certainly leading into the pandemic. It was well below its long-term trend. So that hasn't helped because a lot of people are relying on pay rises to try to accumulate that deposit to break into home ownership. And if their pay packet's only going up at a crawling pace, that's going to make that a lot harder. On the house price front, the most significant rises we saw were actually during the pandemic. Now, a lot of people expected that the shutting of the borders would have led to a real house price slump during the pandemic. But what people underestimated was what impact the RBA cutting rates to near zero would do, because that meant a lot of people who were eager to buy their home were able to borrow a lot more, a lot quicker. And then we saw house prices shot up. So the gap between wages and house prices probably did the largest degree of separation really happened during the pandemic, when wage growth was pretty flat for a while and house prices really shot up.
And what do you say, just by the by here, to your friends that are trying to get into the property market? They look to you and say, well, is there going to be a scenario in the next 10 years where things start to look a little bit better with wages trying to match what is happening with housing prices?
Well, they don't come to me for advice because I'm in the same boat. I'm still in my deposit accumulation phase as well. So I'm another renting millennial trying to break into home ownership, but hopefully not too far away. I'm optimistic, but the reason I'm optimistic about the future is because I think that the debate has turned on the supply side reforms that need to happen to really fix this problem for the long term. particularly in Sydney, we've seen Chris Minns is talking a big game about loosening up the zones, particularly on those key transport corridors to get more homes built centrally in good parts of Sydney. The housing statement in Victoria touched on the ways that we could get more urban infill. There's a target that 70% of all new housing should be urban infill rather than at the urban fringe. So I'm seeing a lot of the political winds blowing in the right direction. So I suppose when young people come to me and be like, is it going to be possible for me to be able to afford a house in the future? The honest answer is I don't know. But the optimistic answer is, look, if we get these supply side reforms done, you'll have a better chance than you would have otherwise.
Yeah. And I guess the final thing is quite demoralizing, isn't it? As you try harder and harder and harder for that deposit, and in some cases with some people's salaries, it just seems to get further and further away. It's almost like you nearly got it, but there's another three more steps to go. And then you get to those three steps, there's another step, and it seems endless sometimes.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And I think this is something, as a millennial, my age group, we have constantly agonized over. And it's really the driving force behind the indignance that maybe our generation reacts to when we are told to, you know, cut back on takeaway coffees and avocado toast. We're just talking a different magnitude, a different scale than the rate at which the house prices of the homes that we'd like to own are running ahead of our wages. So it's clearly a structural issue. It's not an issue of we're just not working hard enough to save the money.
And have you got friends that have decided not to buy? Because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, whereby people just go off overseas, they enjoy their life, and they go, no, don't want to sort of commit to a 30-year mortgage. Bugger that. Let's get on with life and enjoy it.
I've definitely had some friends discouraged and accept that maybe they won't be homeowners anytime in the near future. What I probably haven't seen is someone actively deciding, okay, given all of the considerations, home ownership's not for me. I still think that the majority of young Australians aspire to home ownership, and to the extent that they're shunning it, it's more because it all looks too hard rather than actually that's not something I want, if that distinction makes sense.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Good luck with that house deposit, Joey. I hope you get there. And thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights. We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.